My name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. Appreciate you all joining us today. I was gone last week, and so John Hauser spoke, and I really enjoy listening to him. He's really a deep thinker, and so there are a number of things that he shared that are still kind of rattling around in my head, so I really like that. We had a great trip to Iowa to see my mom and had a lot of fun there. So on the way back, we had a pretty cool experience. It's pretty amazing. We found mini cinnamon rolls. And I know mini cinnamon roll sounds bad, but it's actually like it's a little bowl full of little tiny cinnamon rolls, which is pretty good. I really like cinnamon rolls. A couple years ago, I had this revelation that I should never bypass a cinnamon roll. Like when I have an opportunity, somebody makes them or something, unless I'm like, I got money on the line or something, I'm doing a weight loss bet or something, I got to eat a cinnamon roll when I get the opportunity. And so it's these little tiny cinnamon rolls in a bowl. And the bowl is like soaked with frosting on the inside. And so I had kind of thought, like, you can't really get better than a cinnamon roll. But actually, when you're eating a cinnamon roll, there's always like a piece or two that's like, there's no frosting on this one. I should just throw this out, right? And so this is like, you take it and you dip it in the frosting. So anyway, I wasn't really sure who I wanted to vote for president. But I thought, whoever invented that, like, you know, they've got some sharp thinking going on there. That's a pretty cool idea. And once you hear the idea, it's like, how did nobody ever come up with that? That's so awesome. So anyway, that doesn't really relate to the message. I just wanted to share my heart with you guys. Kind of a big deal to me. So I want us to think about what it would be like to really be used by God in a significant way. Do you ever think, oh, it'd be cool if I was bold for the Lord? We probably don't, because it's like, oh, that sounds scary, right? But like, what if you didn't have that fear and that shame and just that scariness that holds us back from doing greater things for God? I don't mean like in a bad sense, like a selfish, prideful sense, but just that sense of we've been created with things that God has planned out for us to do. We've been created with purpose. And do you ever think like, man, it'd be cool to like really live out that purpose? And sometimes I just think, man, that would be super exciting. That would be a really cool thing. But for me, when I think of doing things like, I don't know, there's all kinds of crazy things I think about, like people who go out like preaching on the streets or something. I look at that, it's like, hey, that's kind of cool, but I don't want to do that, you know. And there are times that I think it'd be, oh, it'd be really cool to like help somebody in their marriage or help somebody in their parenting or help save somebody from the situation they're in some way. But a lot of times I'm afraid to say anything or do anything. I just think, man, it'd be really cool if we were able to overcome some of that fear and that shame that we can feel sometimes related to spiritual things. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. So we finished up our series going through 1 Timothy, and we're going to start going through 2 Timothy now. 1 Timothy we went through kind of chapter by chapter. 2 Timothy, I'd like to just look at some of the gems that are in 2 Timothy instead. I felt like 1 Timothy had a little bit more of a flow to me personally, and 2 Timothy is more like kind of Paul writing to Timothy, and here's some, you know, like Paul's going away, and here's some parting shots, I guess, you know, some parting things to pass on. So it feels a little more bullet item-y to me. And so that's what I want to do, is just highlight certain passages in 2 Timothy. So let's pray, and we'll jump into it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time here. I pray that you bless this series. Thank you for your scripture, for your life-giving words. God, I feel like we can be so confused and so helpless on our own. It's hard to tell up from down, left from right. God, we just need your wisdom and help in life. And so I thank you for your scripture and that it gives us that wisdom, that light. And so we pray that just as we look at this passage this morning, that you would help us to be able to apply these things to our lives, that you would help us to grow in our dependence on you, to not be ashamed to follow you, to not be ashamed to step into the things that you have for us. God, that we would be able to be bold for you in our lives, in our school, in our work, in our neighborhoods, in our friend circles. God, that we would just let you use us however you want to use us, whether that's to do great things or rather minuscule things. God, whatever's on your heart, but we don't want to get in the way. And I pray you would help us to be bold enough to follow you into what you have for us. So we just lift up this time to you and pray, God, that your word would come alive to us here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 12. And let's just read through it, and then we'll go back and highlight some things. So Paul's writing to Timothy. It's not necessarily like a part two of Timothy in the sense that it's another letter from Paul to Timothy, but you know, it's a different time. Timothy's in a different spot, and Paul's in a different spot, and so it's not really a continuation as much as just more thoughts that he wants to share with Timothy. So he writes and he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice," which is kind of cool that there's some kind of spiritual heritage there, that they have passed on their faith to Timothy. He said, "And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. For by the power of God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." So there are a lot of different thoughts we could take from that passage. One of the things that jumped out to me was just this idea of shame, of being ashamed. And so in verses 7 and 8 particularly, it says, "The Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." Then later on in verse 12, he says, "Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed." So Paul's writing to Timothy, and it seems like he's saying, hey, Timothy, we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed of what we're preaching. And Timothy, you don't need to be ashamed of me. And I want to think about that a little bit. Like, why would Timothy be ashamed? Why would this be a concern of Paul's? And I guess for me, it's more of a personal thing. Like, why am I ashamed sometimes? Why am I ashamed of spiritual things? Even last night, Kathleen and I were talking to our neighbor, and we're talking about what our sons are up to. And like, oh, yeah, you know, one of my kids is in Omaha, and he's kind of, I pause for a second. It's like, well, he's kind of going around talking to people about Jesus. It's like, how do you say that in a way that's not, like, Christian-y? It's kind of being a missionary, you know, and it's cool, and I'm really proud of him, and that's awesome, and I'm so glad he's doing it, but I can sense this, like, oh, I don't know if I want to go there. It makes me feel slightly embarrassed sometimes to be spiritual, to be a Christian, to be affiliated with Jesus, and it shouldn't, but it can, and hopefully, I can overcome that most of the time. Sometimes, though, we shy back when we get embarrassed, when we sense shame, and we don't say the things or do the things that God would have us do. So I want to think about just this shame idea a little bit. I think sometimes our personalities make us easily insecure and embarrassed. So for me, I'm a shy person. I realize on stage I may not seem that way, but I'm terribly shy. I think before I met Kathleen, I often thought how nice it would be to live on a deserted island. You know, just kind of do my own thing and not talking to anybody. I'd be pretty peaceful with that. And one of the things I was really afraid of was public speaking, and most of us are. And I remember the first time they asked me to do something at church, like where I had to go up on stage, and I had to do the announcements. And I did not like that. You know, it's like, oh, you know, can't you ask somebody else? And, oh, I'd hate doing that. And so I did the announcements, And I think it went okay. I got through it. And afterwards, somebody's like, hey, you know, when you're doing the announcements, don't, like, read off a sheet of paper. I'm like, oh, why? And like, because it really accentuates that you're shaking as you're trying to do it. So that's why I don't pick up my papers too often. And it's kind of silly, right? So I want to think about what's going on in our minds when we're fearful or we're ashamed. Let's think about the idea of glory. I would like to propose that I'm ashamed when I think that my glory is going to be marred. My glory is going to be taken away from in some way. So when I think about glory, I always think of shiny. Like when you look at glory in the Bible, a lot of times it's like the glory of God appears. And it's like shiny, like woo, you know. And I don't know, it just seems like that's what it is during the transfiguration or something. And I had a friend that explained it to me, and similar idea, but basically said it's anything that makes us look at God and go, wow. Okay, which is kind of the same idea. You see a bright light, you're like, whoa, look at that bright light. And so that's the glory of God, anything that makes us look at him and be like, wow. And I feel like there's this aspect of like, I want that, right? I want people to look at me and be like, whoa, Steve, whatever, he's cool, or he's smart, or he's funny, or he's good looking, or, you know, we all want that to a degree. And so I'm afraid to be in situations where what I do might take that away from me some. What I do might detract from my glory. And so that's why I don't like public speaking, right? Because I'm going to talk and you're going to realize, oh, he's kind of bumbling over his words. He's dumb. Or he said something really foolish. Or he put his foot in his mouth. Or, you know, something like that. Just anything like that that takes away from my glory. And so that's why I don't like to do that. And I think that's why most of us don't like to public speak. And for me, meeting people is really hard. Or sometimes talking to people. I may have shared this before, but one time I had a gal come up to me after church, and she kind of bounds up to me really excited, and she's like, hey, I'm back. And I'm like, hey, great. Yeah, it's good to see you. And she looks really sad, like, you don't remember me, do you? Like, sorry, what's your name again? And she told me her name, and I still had no idea who she was. And this whole problem could have been avoided had I never met her in the first place. And so as a shy person, that's kind of how I feel. I probably come off a little bit as being distant or shields up or something. Shields up probably is kind of accurate. It's like, I don't want to be in that spot of where I forget your name or I forget what you do or I forget the last conversation or I forget that I've met you 5 times already. And so I want to protect my glory. I don't want to be in that spot where I look dumb, where something detracts from my glory. Think about something just even as simple as being in public and having your pants unzipped. It's embarrassing, right? But why? I mean, we've all done that before, if you wear pants. And everybody knows that if you're wearing pants, you have a zipper, and you never see anything, and it's just, it's embarrassing because it just is like, oh, yeah, you're the kind of person that forgets to zip their pants or something. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going through our heads, but there's something that I think, oh, man, my pants are unzipped, and that detracted from my glory. One time I spoke at church, and someone after church was like, hey, you had your pants unzipped the whole time. I got mad at Marty. I'm like, Marty, why didn't you say something to me? Why didn't you? I think he didn't notice, but like how I blame him instead of me. What else? We get ashamed when what we're doing is not working. When I got involved in this group of churches, they had this verse painted on the back wall. I've probably shared this. The Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus is commissioned to his followers to spread his message to the whole world. And I saw that and I thought, man, that's really cool. And then it had this idea of multiplication, this multiplication table, that if you could share this message with 2 people and in a year, you know, they get saved and get discipled and become followers of Jesus, and then they could tell this message to 2 people each, and then a year later, you know, so you go from 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32 to 64, and the idea was like in, whatever, 25 generations, 25 years in this case, the whole world is reached. That's pretty cool. I thought that was pretty exciting as a young man. I wanted to give my life to that. I remember there was a book that was out, I cannot think of the name of it or the author, but it'll come to me probably tomorrow or a couple days. But in this book, it was talking about how to reach the world, and it had this I don't know, a little chapter where it talked about, oh, there were these people that this author had met, and they were doing all the right things, and they were amazing, and if we could be more like these people. And he was talking about our group of churches. Oh, man, that's so cool that I get to be a part of this. So exciting. And then, after a while, you kind of get the sense of, this ain't happening. And I knew that, you know, people would drop off along the way, but it's a little bit embarrassing. Like, man, I love this idea. I poured my life in this, and I still want to do this. I still think it's a good thing to think about. But it's a little bit embarrassing that, you know, it's been, whatever, 40 years, and we still haven't reached the world, or the United States, or Iowa, where we were, or Ames, Iowa. But it's what I want to give my life to. But sometimes we can have kind of a dream like that, and when that dream gets squashed, we can feel ashamed. And that kind of relates to the next point there, too, is we get ashamed when what we believe appears to fall through. And I think that's what Paul's referring to here. As he writes to Timothy, in verse 8, we see that he's writing from prison. He's writing from prison, and so Timothy is a disciple of Paul's, and Paul is his spiritual father, so he has coached him, he's helped him, he appears as the one who kind of recognized him as a pastor or elder of the church, and Timothy's following Paul, and Paul's this amazing guy, right? He's this guy who's had this connection with God. God called him to be an apostle, has sent him into the world. He became the first kind of missionary to the Gentiles. He raised a guy from the dead. He did different miracles. And so, man, it's cool to follow Paul until he gets thrown in prison. And then you're like, oh, man, you know, I really believe this was cool. I believe that we were doing this thing together, and now it's not working. Now, Paul, you're in prison. And I think that's why Paul is writing. He says, hey, Timothy, don't give up hope. Hold on to what you believed. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Then he's going to explain why, and we'll get into that. But I think that's what this whole section is about, is Timothy could have this tendency to be ashamed, this tendency to be timid. And he's losing hope, and Paul's encouraging. No, you hold on to it. I think about the disciples. And how cool it would be to be a disciple, to be like one of the chosen ones. Like, that would be pretty awesome, right? And you would tell your parents, be like, hey, I'm following Jesus. And yeah, I know it's kind of weird, but I quit my job and I'm following him. We're just kind of hanging out and going around doing miracles and stuff. And they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's kind of weird, but it's kind of cool. Until he gets crucified. Then how do you feel? Like, oh, man, I thought he was the Messiah. I guess not. It'd be pretty crushing. And then he comes back from the dead. You're like, whoo, I'm back in. You know? And there's something about our fear and our shame that we put our hopes in things. We live for things. We pour out our heart for things. And when those things don't pan out, then we really feel foolish. Like, oh, I stuck my neck out and it got chopped off. We get ashamed when what we believe is incredible or unbelievable. It's amazing, which is kind of interesting because just if you think of miracles, miracles are by definition impossible, right? They're things that don't happen naturally. And so when you believe in miracles, you believe impossible things. You believe things that other people will think are crazy that you believe those. And there are all kinds of things, like, you know, the virgin birth, or the feeding of the thousands, or Jonah and the whale, or, you know, whatever. And sometimes skeptics can use this to kind of poke at you because they know that you're going to feel embarrassed. Like, you don't believe in, like, Adam and Eve and the talking serpent, do you? And what's your response? It's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of dumb. You know, that's kind of silly. I feel foolish. That can easily be our response. And we have to be like, oh, no, it's okay. I believe in a God of miracles. I believe in a God who does things that aren't possible. I believe that God can make a donkey talk. I believe that God can make a serpent talk. He can do all kinds of things. And really, I mean, the other option's pretty crazy, too, is that a mass of nothingness exploded and became everything we see. That's pretty wild, too, if you think about it. So we all believe some pretty wild things. But we can certainly feel ashamed when what we believe is incredible. We get ashamed when we are associates of people with unbelievable beliefs. So it's not just when I believe something that's crazy, because I'm, you know, generally at peace with what I believe. But if I'm associated with you and you believe something that's crazy, that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. And that might be a little bit what's going on with Paul and Timothy, is that Timothy's like, I'm kind of an associate of Paul and things are not going real well right now. I'll give you an example. I believe that God created the earth in 6 literal days. And that's a polarizing statement. So for some of you, you're like, oh yeah, I believe the same thing. Yep, we're aligned, and that's good. But if you don't believe the same thing, then you're like, whoa, you're one of those people, right? You're a kook. And yet, in other things, it's okay that we have different beliefs, and we're totally peaceful with that. So why is it not okay in that thing? Well, because it relates to kind of our glory, right? Like, you've got your glory, you want to protect it. If you're associated with me and I believe kooky things, then that takes away from your glory. And I can totally appreciate that when people believe in flat earth. I think that's kind of kooky. And I don't want to associate with that. So I kind of, like, well, I'm not that crazy. I'm only this level of crazy. Which people who are skeptical think both of those are completely 100% kooky, right? So it doesn't really help me save face, but there's something in me that's like, I don't want to associate with someone who has different beliefs that I don't agree with it. And so, anyway, we just really want to protect our glory. We want to protect our image, and so we feel ashamed, we feel fearful if we're afraid that that glory is going to get marred. And when we feel fearful, when we feel ashamed, it makes us want to pull back. Makes us not want to do those things that make us feel ashamed or associate with people who make us feel ashamed. And so somehow we need to be able to address that shame. So let's look at the passage and see how it would help us in that. 2 Timothy 1:5-7 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So it seems like Timothy, we've talked about this in our last series, but it seems like Timothy, maybe when he was recognized as a pastor or elder, that there's a laying on of hands, and he was given this gift. We're not exactly sure what the gift is in context. It seems like it's maybe to speak powerfully, to overcome in his timidness. There's some gift that's going to enable him to be stronger than he would be naturally. And so Paul appeals to that. It's like, fan that into flame. Then in verse 7, it says, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. So it's calling out on the Spirit of God. The Spirit God put in you shouldn't leave you in this spot. If you're following the Spirit, then you shouldn't be timid. Since the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. That makes sense in that context. Love. How does that relate? Well, it could be loving hard people. It could be loving people enough to be willing to say hard things. It could be loving lost people enough to share his faith. Love relates to a lot of what we do as followers of Jesus. Self-discipline. Self-discipline is our spirit making our flesh do what is good for it to do. And so the Spirit helps us do what's right and what's good instead of what's natural. And so Paul is calling Timothy to do what's right and good instead of what is natural to him and to his flesh. Let me ask you this question. What would you do if you felt like God wanted you to pass out some religious material to someone at work or someone in your circle of friends? What would you do? Well, for some of you, you're like, oh yeah, I could do that. That's fine. But probably for a lot of us, there's a little bit of a response of like, I wouldn't do that because, well, that would be really awkward, and I have to keep working with these people, and I'm not sure what they would think of me. And, yeah, you know, that's fine for other people, but that's not really my gift. But think about how I worded the question. What would you do if God wanted you to do this? And I think it's really easy for us to have that flesh response of, you know, well, absolutely, I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid. I'm ashamed. I'm fearful. And I think it's just helpful to recognize that. Like, oh, yeah, I do want to protect my image. I do want to protect my glory. And so sometimes there are situations, sometimes maybe being wise, I'm like, hey, I want to be, you know, careful how I do this. Or I want to be careful how I approach this person. And I think that's good and that's healthy. But certainly if God calls us to do something, we want to step into that, to follow him, to follow the Spirit, instead of following our flesh. So to be more concerned about him and what he wants and his glory than my own glory in protecting that. I think we need to join in. In 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul writes and he says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, of me as prisoner, rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And so Paul is writing from prison. In some ways it might feel like everything's falling apart. And Paul says, hey, Timothy, I know this is hard for you. This is challenging. I'm in prison. You might be fearful this isn't working out. Come with me. Let's do this. Let's stay in this. Join me on this journey. And I think it's helpful for us to think through that, to make conscious decisions to follow him, make a conscious decision to join with others, and to make a conscious decision to be willing to be in situations where my glory may be diminished. A couple of experiences from college come to mind. When I first got involved in this group of churches, the very first thing I did was I picketed Gloria Steinem. And, you know, I'm 18 years old, and I had no idea who Gloria Steinem was, and I still don't. I've looked her up several times, so I never remember anything. So why did I do it? I just thought it would be fun to picket somebody. I mean, just doesn't it seem like something you should do? Like, you go to college, it's like, well, let's, you know, let's do something awesome. Let's do something crazy. Let's picket somebody. And I don't know. So I'm not saying that's healthy. I'm just saying that you can see there I did it for my glory. But it's interesting if you think of, as I talk about myself and how shy I am and how hard it is for me in different situations, that's really all true. In that situation, how did I overcome that? I didn't care about how I looked. I just wanted to do something cool. So totally bad motivation. I remember the first time I went door to door. I don't remember what we did. I don't remember if we were sharing the gospel or just like passing out flyers or something, but they had the church meeting, everybody's together, and like, hey, we're going to do this thing in our city, we're going to go out, and we're going to, you know, knock on, whatever, 5,000 doors, and we're going to give people this thing, and I was so scared. It's like, oh, man, I would rather get a root canal, you know, I mean, that just sounds so horrible. And I remember whoever was speaking, one of the pastors said, Ian, we're going to do this with you. The pastors were going to do it too. And there's something about that's like, okay, like, let's do this together. And I think that's a little bit what Paul's calling Timothy into. Like, join with me. Hey, this is what we're doing. This is how we're living this out. And I think we need to make conscious decisions to take steps to do things that are hard that we know that God wants us to do. And I think we've got to be willing to do that even though we know that our glory may be impacted. Think about mission trips. Mission trips are a little bit easier. We take great steps of faith. They're a little bit easier because they're great steps of faith in front of people that we'll never see again. So that's helpful, right? Because you can make a fool of yourself and say, well, I'm never going to see you again. So that helps. But we need to, that's not where we live our day-to-day lives, right? In our day-to-day lives, we need to be comfortable with, hey, I'm willing to talk about Jesus. I'm willing to associate with God. I'm willing to admit that my son is sharing the gospel with people for a month. You know, we need to be able to embrace the faith that we're living out. And the last one is just to put your confidence in Jesus. It's the last verse of that passage, 2 Timothy 1:12. As that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame because I know whom I've believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus. I can entrust myself to him. I can follow him. I'm excited about him. And that's why my confidence is firm, is what Paul is writing. So what's he know about Jesus? Well, that's kind of in the previous verses. Let's look at those real briefly. Let's read through it, and then we'll go back. As he has saved us and called us into a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Let me just go through and summarize that a little more plainly. So he has rescued us and called us into a new life. And it's not because of anything that we've earned or anything that we've done. It's all because of him and all because of his grace. And this grace was given to us through Jesus Christ back before the beginning of time. In other words, before we had done anything to earn it. Has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Part's pretty plain. Who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I like the word immortality. It's like, that's like superhero stuff, right? I mean, that's awesome. He has destroyed death through his death and resurrection, and he's brought life and eternal life, immortality. Well, that's something to be pretty happy about. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And he's saying, hey, and God made me an apostle. God showed up to me and spoke to me and called me out to spread this message to other people. And that's why I'm suffering. So why is he not ashamed? Because he knows Jesus. He knows why he's suffering. He's suffering because he's preaching this message, and he's excited about this message, and he knows that this message needs to be preached, and that he is an example of God's patience and God's grace and forgiveness towards people, and so he wants the whole world to know this, even if it makes him look bad, even if it lands him in prison, even if people think he's crazy, or even if it costs him his life, as it did with most of the apostles. And with Jesus. If we go back to the cinnamon rolls, you don't all agree with me on that. You don't all agree that cinnamon rolls are awesome. Some of you are like, oh, that's so unhealthy. How could you do that? How could you eat like a bowl full of frosting? And I think, what is wrong with you people? Like, frosting is good. You're like, no, it's bad. It's unhealthy. And I don't even care that we disagree. Why? Because I'm excited about cinnamon rolls. And that's kind of the knowing Jesus thing. When we know Jesus, when that's our focus, then it's like, I don't care what other people think. Theoretically, I do. But as I focus on Jesus, there's a lot less of that. Hey, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what he's done for me. I'm excited about what he's done for you. I'm excited that I get to share the message with other people just like Paul did. And that helps me to deal with my fear, my shame, and my embarrassment that is so easy. It so easily comes to me. That's natural. But it can be overcome. So let's pray. Lord, just thanks again for your word. God, man, I wish I was braver. I wish it was easier for me to associate myself with you. I wish there was no shame, no hint of embarrassment in that. But for some reason, there is. God, I thank you that you can help me overcome that. Thank you, just Jesus, as I focus on you, that becomes a lot clearer. And all those other things, my own glory is less important. It's all your glory. When I know you and who you are and what you've done for me and that you've made me immortal like a superhero, I mean, that's pretty crazy stuff. Man, thank you for that. God, help me to have that perspective instead of the perspective of fear and protecting my glory. So we love you. Thank you for this time here. Pray that you just continue to teach us and to apply these things. In Jesus' name, amen.